The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
The Balls and Strikes podcast is brought to you by Elkhorn Training Camp. Let's have some fun and play ball. Here's your host, Tom Oldham.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Balls and Strikes podcast. This is part three of our player development series. Looking back at parts one and two, we focused on a player's mindset and the importance of having a growth mindset. And in part two, we covered the importance of goal setting and introduced the stars, clouds, and dirt concept when developing longer and shorter term goals. Today, we're diving into habits, and we're going to be discussing how James Clear's book, which is Atomic Habits, recommends how we think about these habits. In my opinion, this is where the rubber really meets the road. And it's easy to set goals or think of desired outcomes, but it's the daily habits that are more challenging to be consistent with. As James Clear suggests, habits are the compound interest of self-improvement, or with the way we think about it, player development. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Hale. Alex, how are you doing today?
Always doing good, man. Always doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing very good. Excited to get into this topic. I really, really love this topic. I have a tendency to talk probably more about this than players want me to talk about with them because it's so important. And as we start, I think it's important to discuss what a habit actually is. So habits are defined as a way of behaving that is repeated so often it no longer involves conscious thought. And a habit might be a person brushing their teeth in the morning or tying their shoes before they walk out the door. When we think about habits in terms of player development, it's critical to think about creating a system for player development. And obviously, Alex, as you know, for us at DV, we refer to our system as pitch abilities. So I want to take a second and kind of talk about these four levels of pitch abilities, because a lot of times when players or families or parents or coaches come to us and say, well, how do you develop pitchers? This is really how we do it. We do it through pitch abilities, and there's four levels. There's the foundational level, core level, advanced level, and elite level. And within each of those, what we're trying to get the player to understand is if you have a goal or a desired outcome of throwing 90 miles an hour or whatever it may be, you can't just focus on that goal. You have to really focus on what are your daily habits and what are you doing each day to set yourself up to ultimately get that desired outcome, and not just focus on the desired outcome. So these four levels, we try to help the player understand that velocity and command are really at that advanced level. The top level is what we consider to be mindset, but the foundational and core level is all about flexibility, mobility, stability, strength, speed, power, those things as being an athlete and moving very well, not just worrying about, oh, it's all about velocity. So I think it's important to understand that when we train players, we need to understand what their goals are or their visions or their desired outcomes, but what we try to do is we really try to work to improve their habits. And the majority of our time today, we're going to be really diving into what James Clear considers identity-based habits. So what this means is when you're looking at creating behavioral change, at the center of it is really that identity. So for example, I want to identify as a collegiate pitcher, or even more specifically, I want to be a Friday night guy for a D1 program. And then you look at that as the center or the identity, and then you say, okay, are my daily habits setting me up to eventually get that desired outcome? For you, Alex, when you think about identity-based habits, what does that mean to you?
I think when it comes to focusing on who you are as a player, as a person, it simplifies everything. And whether it's your team, whether you're coaching a team and you say, we want to take care of the ball better, play better defense. Well, a lot of that can be summed up into, we need to play better catch. So if you can create that team identity of, we play good catch, we play perfect catch all the time when on a, in a controllable environment, that's going to translate to playing better defense and having, you know, more success in the field, taking care of the ball. As a player, you can go out and say, I want to hit 300. But what might be an easier goal or mindset is, I'm the kind of guy who I hit every day, and I hit, whether it's 50 balls, 200 balls. I am a guy who hits every day. This is a craft. This is how I work at it. And I let the results take care of themselves, because I can't control so many different things, whether it's the pitcher I'm facing, the weather, the defense, you know, how the wind's blowing that day. It gets too much. There's too many things out of your control, where if you can say, I'm going to hit every day, I'm going to groove my swing, you know, work on my balance, the rest of that stuff's going to start to take care of itself. And I think too many guys get caught up in the results and then just take breaks on, you know, the work. And that's really that creating the identity of, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do. And then the results take care of themselves. And that can be easy or very difficult to understand, depending on how you view it. But as a player, it's one of those ways you can kind of keep your sanity. And you got to be able to say, okay, I can't control this, this, and this, but I can control this. And that's what I need to focus on. That needs to be my number one. So from there, I think that really builds the foundation, as we were just talking about, for everything else. And you don't really need to get ahead of it until you get that, whether it's how you eat, sleep, work out, recover, you know, what you do in your free time to make sure that you're doing the right things to be ready to do your main things the next day. So
I love that. And I feel sometimes, and let's go back to your first example of playing perfect catch. I feel sometimes for players, it's so simple that they don't realize the importance of that. Where it's, oh, I need to play perfect catch. Obviously, I don't want to drop the ball, and I want to make a good throw to my throwing partner, whomever that may be. But one of the things that I think it's important for players to understand is you first have to establish the habits before habits can be optimized. And I think players try to jump towards, okay, yeah, Alex, I get it. Great. Now what else? What else do I need to do? And a lot of times it's going back to those simple approaches and those habits, and really it's your system of playing catch that you've created with your teams and with your players that allows them to reach their goals, because like you said, it just kind of takes care of itself.
100%. We know on our team, if we can score more than three, we're going to win the vast majority of our games, because we play defense, because we can pick it. I mean, we played tournaments where we'll give up five runs the whole tournament. And it's because of taking care of the ball. It's because our pitchers throw more strikes. It's because we're able to take more chances, whether it's back picks, throwing behind runners, on relays and tags. We're able to do a lot more things because we play such good catch. And like you said, kids can take it for granted. And that's not their fault in a lot of ways, because that's how they've been brought up with, oh, just go get loose, you know, until they get to, whether it's college or on my team, where this is going to be the most important thing we do every day. So you better lock in. And if we need to take 30 to 45 minutes on it the first day, we're going to, because this is how it has to be done. Because all of the other headaches are going to be prevented by doing this every day. And whether it's moving your feet, like you want to hit your partner in the chest, but if you're the partner, if he's not going to hit you in the chest, you need to move towards the ball. Have your feet being active, both your hands active, you know, getting your feet underneath you, not rushing your throws, learning where you need to be to keep your fundamentals sound when things get going faster and faster, when you get a little tired, when it gets a little hot, because that's what you're going to fall back on is your habits. And I think that's the big thing for guys, to not get in a hurry to, okay, I get that. I want to throw harder. I want to do this. Okay, well, long toss more routinely, play better catch, you know, make your mechanics more efficient by doing this more, and then the rest is going to start to build on itself. So kids get, you know, impatient sometimes, and I get that. And that's not their fault. That's just, you know, being a kid. But once you can get them to understand their performance is going to be the byproduct of their behaviors and habits, I think it gets a lot more simple.
Yeah, I love that example just because I think it connects with everybody. Obviously, in the game of baseball, you need to be able to catch and throw well. You need to be able to pick it if you're a middle infielder, throw strikes if you're a pitcher. I think that resonates with everybody. And one of the things when I explain this to players and coaches, I explain it in terms of creating self-sufficient players, meaning there are so many things going on at any given point in time in a game. Players need to be self-sufficient. They can't be told every little thing that they have to do. There needs to be expectations set, you know, for the team. In this specific example, it's, you know, we play perfect catch. But, you know, there's a million other examples. So when I talk about habits, creating a system, which is really just a collection of habits, it's from an application standpoint. Think about it this way. If someone were to come and watch you practice or play, what would they say? And that's I think, a way to connect players to, oh, everything that I do on the baseball field is really a collection of habits. How I prepared to show up to the game, how I got ready before pregame, how I showed up to my position, all of those things are really a collection of those habits. And if you look at it in terms of how somebody, if they were to come and watch you play, what would they say? Then you can start to get into a little bit more of, well, are your habits effective? Like, do you have good habits or do you have bad habits? And with that, we're going to dive a little bit into this habit loop, which is obviously trying to have behavior change in terms of moving from a bad habit to a good habit, or if you have a good habit, moving it to a great habit, where you have, with this loop, there's really three parts. There's the trigger, the routine, and then the reward. So the trigger is something that signals you into making basically a prediction of what's going to happen, okay, or how you want to show up. Then your routine is really the process of that habit. And then the reward is, oh, I did this and this was the outcome. It was positive, so I want to continue this. And rather than going really deep into the process of the habit, one of the things that I have found really helps is identifying the triggers. So what I mean by this is, for example, when I was pitching, the chalk line was a trigger in terms of whenever I crossed the white line, that was the trigger in terms of, okay, now I'm locked in and I want to demonstrate that I'm locked in. So everything that I did on the mound, the way that I reacted to what the hitters did or how I was pitching was all predicated on that trigger, where that was something that is consistent and it puts me right into that zone. Were there any triggers that you had as a player?
I definitely said, like, coming out of the dugout was always like, as soon as I got out of the dugout, and whenever I was on a field, I think I always thought of it as, this is a time to, I don't mean this in a bad way, I mean, it's time to show off.
Yep.
Like, this is time to show what we can do. And so whether it was practice or a game, it didn't matter, because as soon as I stepped on the field, as soon as I stepped out of the dugout, even if I was out there by myself, I always played like somebody was watching, somebody who was going to tell, you know, somebody else who's going to tell somebody else. And that was going to be my reputation as a player. Anytime I was at a batting cage on a field, you know, what are they going to say about me? But not only that, is I wanted to make sure I was holding myself accountable. And that was just something that I always did. I was always excited to play. And I think coaches, when they come see guys, especially for recruiting, nobody wants a kid who's unenthusiastic. Nobody who wants a guy who doesn't feel like hustling, who wants to look cool and thinks like jogging slowly or walking out makes them above their peers or above their teammates. It's like, watch the guys who are successful. They're doing, it doesn't matter what everybody else does, they're doing things their way, the right way. And that's contagious to usually the rest of the team. Cause usually if your better players are doing it, everybody else is going to fall in line. But I think, for me, the trigger was always, as soon as I stepped out of the dugout, whether I was catching, I always dead sprinted to home. Like, that became my thing. And it was like, man, you're flying out there all the time. And I'm like, well, it feels like I should be the first one out here, because everybody's looking at me. I'm, you know, directing traffic. I'm the the guy who's in charge of what's going on, get the umpire behind me, make sure the pitcher knows I'm there for him. And then as a pitcher, I wanted my catcher out there too. And so this is kind of one of those things, like I was always picky about my catchers and how they did things. Cause it was like, I knew how I had been trying to do it for, you know, up to my sophomore year of college. And it was like, that's the same, you know, I was doing it for a reason, I guess.
Absolutely.
And it was just creating that reassurance. Cause when you get on the mound, it's a whole lot different. Your thoughts can get going faster or slower. And when you have a catcher who can recognize that and is paying attention, they can slow you down, speed you up, you know, motivate you a little bit when you need to, kind of, whether it's firing the ball back at you, getting on you a little bit, or, you know, being your psychologist out there and telling you, hey, you know, everything's gonna be okay. We can, or we'll get your mind off. We're gonna go get snow cones after the game, whatever it is. You know, sometimes the conversations on the mound aren't exactly what people think they might be.
Right.
And that's, but that's one of those things about knowing your pitcher. You know, what do you say to a pitcher after he gives up a home run? You know, come out there and telling him it's going to be okay isn't necessarily what he wants to hear. Maybe just the elephant in the room. Holy cow, he hit that ball a mile. Like, it still hasn't landed yet. Just get him to laugh a little bit, getting him out of his own head. That can be the catcher's job. So I think when you get everybody locked in on the same wavelength, the same page of, you know, being 100% all in for 2 to 3 seconds at a time, then you kind of start to have success on the field, success in practice, and that's when the team really starts to gel. Is they start to rely on one another a little bit.
Absolutely. And that trigger of you sprinting out of the dugout to get behind the plate, I mean, that's in and of itself not that big of a deal or hard to do, right? But when you do it consistently, game after game, day after day, that's why we talk about these habits being the compound interest of player development. Because over time, that trigger then becomes a habit, and it's, like we've said, based on your identity as the person that is going to be directing the team, that's the leader on the field, and that's why it's so important. But it's not where, oh yeah, I did this, you know, 3 days ago, and then I'll maybe do it tomorrow, I'm a little tired today. It's, you're doing it every single time.
Every time.
And you don't even have to think about it.
No. I just remember you take a step towards the edge of the dugout, it's kind of like a deep breath, and then start to kind of lean forward. I still can picture it, and you just take off. And it was like, if I can do it, there's no reason everybody else can't do it, because I'm full gear. It's 100 degrees outside. It's my second or third game of the day. But every inning, that's what I did. And so, whether I was as talented as everybody or not, that was something I could control.
Absolutely. And with that, you know, a lot of players have questions in terms of the recruiting process, how to get noticed, how to be seen, all those sorts of things. And this is where I go to when those conversations come up, because I think players hear a lot of times that, you know, scouts or recruiting coordinators are always watching, and they truly are. And for players to understand and how to, you know, apply this into an actual setting is, think about the way that you get out of your car. Think about the way that you're walking to the field, or, you know, to the training center, or whatever you're doing as it relates to you trying to be seen as a leader, as somebody who could provide value for that coach's team. I don't think players are understanding that there are triggers in and of getting out of a vehicle or walking to the park, or putting your cleats on, or how you're interacting in the dugout. You know, I think when we're talking about this topic of habits, I don't want players to think it's all just about on the field performance. This is, identify those triggers so that your on the field performance becomes almost the easiest part of what you're doing. And you really are not afforded the opportunity to take any time off in terms of the way that you're thinking about setting up these systems for your development.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So one of the, when we talk about these habits and, you know, the habit loop and, you know, getting better each day, if a player were to come to you to say, you know, next year I have a goal of being a starting pitcher in high school, and I want to help our team get to you know, the state tournament. Let's talk a little bit about how we would approach that conversation with a player. And this could be, you know, being a starting pitcher on the high school team. This could be, you know, I want to get onto, you know, being a starting pitcher in college, whatever level that may be. How would you start that conversation?
I think you start with where were you last year? And that kind of starts the foundation of it, and it frames the conversation, because usually it's going to be, obviously I wasn't a starting pitcher before. And so my next question would be, so what do you feel like you need to do in order to get to that starting pitcher status? Like, do you need to improve your command, your velocity, your breaking ball, pitching from the stretch, your stamina, you know, do you need to get more physical? And they're going to kind of start to piece that together for you. And then my next question is, so what are we doing today to get us closer to that? And then what are we going to do tomorrow? Because you want to focus on next season, because everybody gets real focused on next season when the season itself is starting to not go the way they wanted to, or starting to wind down. They start thinking about next year. And I'm like, well, okay, well, let's start that today. Let's not get, you know, we don't want to cram for this test. We want to make sure we are locked in for the long haul. And that starts with, what can I improve today? Because it's going to be drops of water in a big bucket. And if you stop, then all of a sudden that's going to start to evaporate.
Right? Yeah. And Alex, I want to stop you right there, because this is why this is the third part of this series, where we started with, you know, a player's mindset and having a growth mindset, going to goal setting, setting that directions, identifying your desired outcome. This is why we're focusing on habits now, because this is really talking about, okay, great. We have those desired outcomes. Now, what are we doing day in and day out so that you are naturally moving in the direction of reaching your goals, as opposed to, like you said, cramming for the test, or, you know, trying to get in an off season's worth of training in 2 weeks before tryouts. That sort of a thing. And when you have these conversations with players, when we're talking about identities, what are some of the identities you mentioned earlier, you know, as a team, we play perfect catch. What are some of these other identities that players could resonate with?
I think as a hitter, I always think back to Justin Upton when I was in high school. They would house a family in the summer in the Coastal Plains League. And so I got to go play out there. And he got picked number one overall. And he came and worked out with us that whole summer. And when we asked him about it, we're like, why are you working out with us, man? You know, I was like college freshman. It was an older players league, but he said, well, you know, my agent just said he was going to handle all that, the signing stuff. And so he just told me to go work out. And so that's why I'm here. And we were like, that all the signing stuff, I mean, the kid was going to sign for like $6 million, but that wasn't his focus. His focus was on what he needed to do that day. And it was because he took, since he was a little kid, 200 swings a day with him and his brother. His dad had him take 200 swings every day. And he's like, some days, you know, you're a kid, like, you don't want to. He's like, so we would bunt 200 balls, or we would swing at all 200 pitches. And he goes, but funny enough, he was like, we learned what we couldn't hit by doing that. Because he's like, it's not every day when you feel like it. It's holidays, birthdays, weekends. He's like, it was every day. And then when you look at his swing, how efficient it was and how the ball jumped, and it was tiny, tiny improvements over hours and hours and hours, over days, weeks of his life. Yeah. And so when we talk to players, it's, are you hitting every day? Are you trying to, if you're trying to be a hitter, you need to hit, because hitters hit.
Yep.
And you need to be as ready as you can every game to do that. You don't want to go into a game trying to find your timing or find your swing. You need to figure that stuff out now, or start building towards figuring it out now, because the later we get, those are opportunities lost.
Absolutely. And such a great example where the identity is, well, I'm a hitter. Okay. Well, if you identify as a hitter, guess what? Every day you should be hitting. And that's where we talked about earlier about habits have to be established before they're optimized. It'll go into, okay, yeah, well, I'm hitting, and now I want to, you know, get this exit velocity or get this number or something like that. Well, let's focus on hitting every day first. And then we can talk about improving over time, but we first have to establish that habit or that system of getting into the cage or whatever it may be, day in and day out?
I use the example for our guys. I'll tell them, I was like, take 10 swings every day. And they're like, just 10? And I go, no, take 10 swings every day. Because you usually take more, but it's like, if you can, until you see what that's like to actually, okay, I haven't hit yet today. Like, those are the days when you can't skip.
Yep.
And all it is 10 swings. So how do you navigate your schedule in your day? How do you navigate, you know, what you need to get done to make that happen before you start worrying about trying to get 200 swings a day? You know, you don't need to jump to that right away. It's when, well, I was trying to get back in shape 6 years ago. I was like, I'm going to go touch the door. And now you always use the touch the door example. I said, I can go touch the door every day. So I'll go to the gym. And if I touch the door and I want to leave, that's fine. But I got to touch the door. And I would always go in and I would always lift. And usually those were the days you had better workouts. But they're just knowing in my mind where I don't have to work out today. I don't have to build it up into this big thing. I'm just going to go touch the door. And then if I still don't want to work out, that's fine. I can go. And ironically enough, that actually really changed how I look at building my habits on myself. So.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great. And players, I hope you recognize that when we're talking about, you know, these habits as this third part of the player development series, there are no shortcuts here. I mean, this is really a situation where you have to understand where you want to get as a player and how you want your identity to be seen in terms of how you show up to the field, how you show up to training. What do you want to identify with as a player? And then you can identify or build your system of habits around that. Alex, anything in closing that you want to make sure that we cover?
Well, I think what you said was spot on. It's the product on the field and everything you are striving to achieve is going to be based on your habits. While we were doing this podcast, my players just came and got the balls out of the truck. And they're going down to hit because I said, hey guys, I got to do this podcast. I might be done at 1:45. We play at 3:00. And they're like, okay, well, can we get the balls? Cause we always hit an hour and a half before. It's currently 97 degrees outside with 115 heat index. And they're still going to make sure they get down there because that's just how we do things.
Love it.
And it's not by accident. If we have an 8 a.m. game, that stinks, man. We're going to make sure we get breakfast at the hotel as soon as they open. And we are going to be here as soon as we can. And as soon as they'll let us in the gates, we're going to get here. And those are the things that you don't really necessarily think make a big deal, but when you get to a certain level, especially at our level, it's all the teams are there. All the teams are there an hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes early. And usually the teams who aren't playing at that level are the ones coming in later because they need more sleep.
Yep.
But it's really that they don't want to get to bed early enough. And so the things you do and the things you do every day are going to be the things that build and become what kind of player you are. And unfortunately, there's no shortcuts. Yep. That's also why I don't have any sympathy for guys who want to take shortcuts or who, you know, don't do all the work when they're younger or they slack off or they think they're getting away with it because you can't make up for it later. And if you're a player who's doing the right things all the time, that stuff is going to benefit you down the road. If you're the guy who always touches the line, if you're the guy who always gives everything they have when they're working out and their conditioning and their practices, that builds every day. And that makes a huge difference, especially when you get to that your junior, senior year of high school and into college. It really just kind of, it takes off and how big of a difference it makes. So if you're doing that, I hope you keep doing that.
Yeah.
If you're not, it might be too late, but you need to start finding out.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So well said. And players, we talked about on episode 2, the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, that was really on creating a growth mindset. A book that I would strongly recommend related to this topic is Atomic Habits by James Clear. A lot of these concepts that we talked about are ones that he dives very deep into in his book. Definitely recommend it. Alex, good luck today. Appreciate you taking the time, and we'll see everybody on the next episode.
Ahura Media Production.